Hello and welcome to a dialogue about what it means to want to have it all as women today, spanning the world of having a calling in the world to pursue one's calling in work and to pursue and fulfill on the calling of being a mother. So today I have Miriam Mason-Martineau and myself, Chayla Davison, are going to explore this topic. So first, let me share a bit about who both of us are as we come into this dialogue. So I'm an integral coach, and I work primarily with people around the topic of life purpose and pursuing one's calling in the world. So this is a very juicy, ripe arena for me to play in, and I get to do a lot of work with men and women alike, really bringing themselves fully into the world. And I am an entrepreneur, have been self-employed and self-authoring in my career since I was 19. And I'm also a mother. So I'm dealing with this topic very closely with clients and also am grappling with this topic within my own personal world. And Miriam, our lovely parenting coach and mother, who is homeschooling and very much engaged in the day-to-day, what it means to consciously raise a child, and who's also an entrepreneur and grappling with these same issues of life calling and being a mother. And welcome, Miriam.
Thank you so much, Jill. I'm really happy to be here and super excited to be diving into this conversation.
Thanks. Yeah, me too. It's a very timely conversation and one that in numerous discussions recently as of late with clients, with women, with friends, we're at a time in history where we have so many choices. And we as women are really encouraged to pursue whatever we want. And in many cases are told that we can have whatever we want. And what keeps coming up is, wait a minute, there's actually a lot to this parenting gig. And there's a lot to this life purpose gig.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd like to talk a little bit about, first, what is the experience of having a calling? You know, one distinction I'd really like to make is between, oh, I have to work for money, you know, and that challenge that parents do face of, do I stay home? Do I work? Well, we need the income. Really where I want to zero in on is not the financial aspect, but the calling aspect. Where to feel full as a human being, to feel like I'm really doing my work, I'm called outside of the home, that I need that as part of my spiritual well-being, as part of my emotional well-being. And so I'd love to hear what your experience is of feeling called.
Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as you said that, the being called, the words that came up for me was being in touch with self and this the potential that we have to be in touch with ourselves and to source from that being in touch, you know, why we're here on this planet, how we can serve. And like you said, one way we can serve is through being a mother, and then there's many others. And I think because we live in this unique time where we could, right? It's sort of there, offered. You can be a mother and you can have a career. It's a really interesting one to dip into, and I'd like to maybe even begin by just mentioning how important I think it is that, you know, first that step of being in touch with self, and then that whatever arises from there has a place. So if for one woman, what arises from really being in touch is this call to fully dive into motherhood and just do that, that's a beautiful thing. And if for another woman, when she's in touch with self, there's a call to not do the journey of being a mother to an actual child and more working with the archetype of motherhood, which is really the keeper of the hearth, and potentially working, you know, in social realms or political or wherever that may be, that's also a beautiful thing. And then there's the spanning, right, that we're talking about. But really that my hope is in myself, in you, and in all women, that it can come from a place of really being in touch with our true self and trusting. I mean, this has really been my experience, is trusting that when we're in touch and we get a call, we feel drawn to something. There's really something that wants to be expressed through us, that we can also go at that with a trust that there is a way to do that. And I think maybe we can touch on that later, as, you know, how can we be creative in finding those ways that we can, you know, bring our vocations forwards.
Beautiful. Yeah, you know, what really stood out as you were saying that, which I think is a very important piece, is this notion of, yeah, it is beautiful to, I'm called to just be home, mm-hmm. and that just isn't this, I'm now less than.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's a theme that seems to come up a lot for mothers and for non-mothers, even, you know, the judgment placed on for the women I know who've chosen not to have children, and some of what can come at them. And then the women who are choosing not to work, who want to stay home with their children, and the judgments that come to them. And then those of us who are spanning, it feels like this world right now has a lot of, no matter what I'm doing, there's something wrong with it.
It's fascinating, you know, like you began by saying we have all these choices, and I think it's how do we handle those in a way that then, you know, brings back dignity and integrity amongst, you know, amongst all of us, and that's where I think there is a simplicity. It sort of gets fairly complex, and yet the simplicity is when you're truly in touch with yourself, if from there you feel called to something, that you can trust that, and we can trust it with each other. And offer that to each other too, and support each other in really stepping into the world then in whichever way each of us is called. So I think that's a gift we can offer each other with that awareness.
Yeah, and I think that touching on that too in our next dialogue, we're going to be touching more into the practicalities of how to work within spanning these two worlds. And that to me feels like a really important piece is, how do we actually touch into who we truly are and what our true calling is, as opposed to, you know, taking on the cultural narratives or that of our family lineage or how we think it's supposed to look or what our neighbor's doing or our best friend is doing, and that our own internal conflicts with comparisons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think too, also what it calls forth in us is to look at motherhood and also look at, you know, what a career is or what being an entrepreneur is. Look at those with fresh eyes too, because I think they have been seen as so separate, you know, sometimes for very practical reasons, but also otherwise. And in my work as a parenting coach, one thing that I encourage parents to do is to really also bring forth an honoring of what being a parent is, and not wait for society to do it. So to add a sense of a joy of what this journey is and how important it is and how it actually can have a huge impact and can be a very big and meaningful contribution to the world at large, even if it happens in the home space.
So, you know, culturally we do really have historically anyway really hold life calling or career calling versus parenting family calling at all. And, you know, let's look in a little bit about what are those main themes that have this feel like these are incongruent paths, or paths that pull away from each other.
Mm-hmm. I love that inquiry, because just asking the question allows us to open up space in our own minds and hearts that maybe they don't need to be at odds as much as they are, that maybe we don't need to keep ourselves limited in that framing. And at the same time, obviously from a practical point of view, mothering is a fairly full-time endeavor, and being an entrepreneur is quite full-time too. So,
yeah.
And I think we'll get to that in our second dialogue. But maybe I could light it up from my work as a parenting coach and as a mother, and then maybe you could do it through the work you do. So
yeah.
I'm thinking really when I work with parents, one thing that I like to do is actually offer to them the notion and the appreciation for the work they do as parents in service to the greater whole. So to actually give it a meaning that is beyond just what happens in your home, that goes beyond the personal, that we can actually offer a huge contribution to the world at large through what we do as parents, and that, you know, parenting with consciousness can really be one of the most radical ways that we can help transform and evolve our human adventure. And so I think sometimes it's even just seeing parenting in that much broader scope, in the much bigger context, that can, you know, maybe bridge a little bit what is often seen at odds. And it's not necessarily something that society will do for us. It might be something that we as parents need to step into ourselves and see amongst ourselves, so that, you know, when someone has chosen the path of parenting, that we really respect and support and acknowledge the work that it is, and that it's a form of long-term activism like none other that I can really think of.
Mm. Yeah, you know, what stands out for me in what's at odds is, I mean, time, which you touched on a bit there, which, like you said, we'll do more of the practicalities of it. But that seems to be one of the biggest at odds is just, well, when I'm with my child, I'm not getting things done or not engaging with my work. And when I'm engaging with my work, I'm not with my child. And so just the practicality of time, space, where I am, it feels at odds. And one of the biggest challenges, especially in the earlier years, I can see, is around expectations, particularly for those of us who have had careers prior to becoming a parent and have certain habits, you know, especially those who really, like, try to give it their all in everything they do. So to be able to have a different kind of expectation in what gets to be done, especially with things like goals and objectives, and a lot of working with entrepreneurs, there will, because it's so self-authored, there can be a lot of, you know, these are the things that I want to accomplish this year, and these are the ways that I want to express what I'm bringing forth into the world. And there can be a lot of pressure to uphold that same amount when moving into parenthood, that they can have parenthood feel at odds, or have, you know, when I'm now with my child, I can't do those things, or now when I'm in work, now I have all this guilt about not being with my child. And so there's like this interior pull of what I'm not doing, what I'm missing out on, as opposed to being able to bridge those more in what each offers the other. And I think that a lot of that can be done in how we take care of our level of presence in what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I find that when I create structures around being able to really unplug and be done work at a particular time, that's going to be a lot more nourishing being with my family than when I'm still running ideas. And I've got to get this done, I've got to get that done. And my sense of a lot of that is around expectations of myself and what I think I should be able to accomplish in the work that I'm doing. And so I think that when those can be released a little bit, and a little bit more ability to be in mess and be in incompletion and not be in targets and objectives and I need to get to X, Y, Z at a certain time, that there is more freedom to be in the flux of life and in the flux of work and in the flux of being a parent.
Yeah, that's so beautiful, Chile, because you're really speaking about a longer view. And then what I'm also hearing is we can actually seek and grow into more depth, while the breadth of what we can manage might shrink when we become a parent and are also doing work. And I think, you know, when you talked about level of presence, I think that's such a key, because I, you know, I've worked with quite a few parents who, especially in the early years, there's no doubt that, you know, you're a mother first. If you want to consciously parent, it doesn't really work for the child if you hold the notion of, well, I'm going out into the world to make the world a better place so that when you're grown up, it's going to be, you know, a better place. The child really lives in the present moment, and a two-year-old doesn't really, you know, doesn't understand, doesn't appreciate that perspective. What that child needs, or what the six-month-old needs, is you. You know, is really you, is ideally a lovely village, which we can get to later, but, you know, needs figures that he or she can attach to and rely on and be held in presence with. And so I think simply by virtue of what a child needs, especially in the early years, the span of what we can hold with our work will shrink dramatically. But the depth doesn't need to. I think that's really key, and I've noticed it quite a bit when mothers step out a little bit from their work in the early years and then step back in. I keep comforting them by saying, you know what? Everything you've learned and done by being a mother will feed into your work.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's the key with part of what we're trying to do in this conversation or look into is how can we actually start to hold this spanning of these worlds not as what's at odds, not as, you know, juggling or toggling, so I'm in this world or I'm in that world, but more how can each of these really serve the other? And I think both of us could probably speak more from personal experience, you know, our professional aspects as well, but one of the things that I do find is when being away from my child to be engaged in my work, because I have a really deep commitment to showing up and being present with him, and I miss him when I'm working. You know, that pull, it is a pull, and mm-hmm. it is a challenge. And while spanning these worlds, when I am working, there is that always in the background of, I should be with my child. And I think I would, I don't want to lie and pretend that that's not there. That's very there. And so what that gets to create in me is when I'm working, more depth and focus to be able to get to the bone of what it is that I'm really wanting to express in the world so that I can get back to him. There's a quality of wasting less time.
Yeah.
And also more depth in the importance of, you know, what all of this is for. So while I feel that I have a life's purpose that is beyond mothering, because I also have a life purpose of mothering, having that anchor point of being mother, of being in service of this child, has me be more discerning, more focused, and more committed when I am in my work to what I'm offering the world. And so that when I'm complete with the work that I'm doing, I can go back and be really focused and in service of him.
Beautiful. Yeah, you're really talking about distilling, right, down to the essence. I find in both directions that can be seen, you know, both in our work. I remember when I became a mother, and then I sort of looked at everything I used to do and realized there's no way I can pull that off, just given the amount of time in a day. And I sort of listed the things that were really important to me. And then I looked at which ones could I put on hold for a while, knowing that, you know, those passions and gifts won't disappear, and there'll be time when I can bring them back. You know, there'll be time when I can bring them back into my life. And then also looking at the ones where it felt like, if I don't engage those pieces of my work or my expression, there's actually a really essential part of me that it will not necessarily die, but that, you know, that really should be alive, and that it wouldn't even be good for my child if I let that part just go. Like I wouldn't be as good of a parent if I let that part of myself just lay to the wayside. And so it was really a sifting through of, okay, that I'll do maybe in 10 years again. This one I'll keep alive. You know, I can give you examples, like singing was one that I used to do a lot of. And so I sort of just shifted that part of my life into singing a lot with my daughter, and, you know, singing in the living room, singing her to sleep. Dance was something I used to do a ton of and perform a lot, and so I, you know, became a living room dancer and started doing that with my daughter. So anything I could do that was important, but I could really just change the form it takes as it gets expressed and enrich then also the relationship with my daughter through it, you know, that was sort of taken care of in that way. And then the part of me that I really had to carve out separate time for was really sort of that intellectual writing, coaching, counseling, that whole area of my life. That was something I just couldn't do with her at the same time. And so it was this distilling of, you know, what can I let go of for now, or maybe forever, who knows? What can I blend into my work as a mother? And then where do I need to carve out time and get creative in where that happens in a day, so that, you know, I can keep the flame alive in me, which would be detrimental both to myself and to the family health if I let that go.
Mm. Wow, really well put. I look forward to, in our next dialogue, to digging more into what are some practical ways to be in support of that distilling down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing I'm really curious about your perspective on in coaching parents is this rampant theme of guilt. You know, so even when you were speaking about the distilling down and then saying, you know, one of the things I'm not going to let go of, or where I need to carve out that time where I'm away from my child, being these more intellectual pursuits. And what I run into a lot of with women, with mothers, is this feeling of that's selfish, or I feel guilty if I'm taking any time away from my child for something that's stimulating me or giving me pleasure. What have you seen or worked with, or what can you shine some light on around that piece that seems to be really fierce for women?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's partly maybe something that we can offer each other as women, that we can really hold support for each other in that kind of, it goes beyond self-care for me. It begins really with discernment. You know, I would say to a mother, if this is part of your soul's calling, then let's find a way that can be taken care of, because your well-being is so intimately tied into your child's well-being. And if there's constantly a part of you that feels like it's not, you know, it doesn't have any space, and it's an essential part. So that's where I think discernment first comes in, because there could be many habitual needs or wants or desires that I actually could very well let go of. So I'm really talking about first the discernment, what are the essential ones, and then to find ways really with that view that if you don't take care of those, and I mean, I experienced it myself, if I just had even just half an hour of writing time, I would come back to my time with my daughter with so much more presence, inspiration. I'm sure it was more fun for her at the same time, where I was just working with a mother who really finds that if she can just move her body for half an hour a day, so whether she goes running or she does yoga, you know, it doesn't even take much time. I think that's one thing that as mothers we generally learn pretty quickly, is to just go for quality really fast, like we don't waste so much time. And when I was talking to her, and it felt, this is so essential that she has that time, it's not much. And then just to get creative of how to do it. So I think maybe part of the guilt piece, how I would address that, is to first do the discernment work of where is this need coming from, and is, if this is really springing forth from your deeper self, if this is an essential part of who you are, then it's also a beautiful thing to model to your child, you know, that we're here on earth to also help our children be who they are and express who they are. So if we can then find creative ways where, you know, they're well taken care of while we do that, or they're napping, or they're sleeping at night, or sleeping in the morning, depending when you end up doing your work, I think that there are definitely ways to span those two worlds and then see them as joyous, enriching possibilities rather than as places where we need to be guilty. So the reframing, I think, is something partly we can do for ourselves, and then my hope is that we as women, and hopefully beyond that as families and as society at large, can do for each other.
Beautiful. Thank you for that. You know, I think that's a big, that not that is a big thing that's happening in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of mommy wars, and I don't know if that's so much happening in the intimate friendships and places that we keep, although maybe, but certainly in media, there are a lot of you know, a lot of the articles that I see going around have this way is the way, no, this way is the way, and these pressures, you know, this interior pressure and this interior pain that we feel as individuals to try and navigate that with others and with our peers and our sisters and friends around, yeah, really being supportive of our own unique ways of showing up within this topic.
Mm-hmm. There's a variety, right? There's a diversity of how it ends up looking, what forms and shapes it takes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just as in a very basic way, just being there for each other to say, yeah, you're doing great. And that being a starting point where, you know, what I've noticed in a lot of conversations is what's right there on the surface is the fear of being judged for being a bad mom.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I think motherhood is one of those vulnerable experiences, life experiences, because you care so much about doing it right. You'll never do it perfectly. And so you're already in the dilemma right there. You know, you'd like to be the perfect parent, and the perfect parent doesn't exist. So it's partly also our relationship to, you know, these ideas, or like you said earlier, these expectations. And I'd want to sort of bring it back to that key that you mentioned, which is depth or quality, because in my experience with children is if we give them full presence, real quality time, it's like you're filling up their cup, that intrinsic need they have to be connected with, to be seen, to be heard, and that cup gets filled, and once it's full and overflowing, you know, then there's often some spaciousness that's given also to the mother or to the father. And so I think we can really, I really think depth is a key. It's like, go for quality time. It's not so much about, you know, if you spend every waking hour with your child, it's that when you spend time with your child, that it's quality time.
Great. I love that. Thank you, Miriam. Thanks so much. So let's wrap this up. And I want to dive more into in the next dialogue, jump off from that theme, you know, of what does that look like in a practical sense? So what could we start to explore that those listening can then take home and really start to practically apply to take these two worlds from being at odds to complementing more, to being able to swim back and forth from these worlds with more ease.
Wonderful. Sounds great.